My brother Tom knew the ABCs, could write numbers from 1 to 100, spell a lot of words, and read simple sentences before he started school. He did get some help from Papa and Mama and my oldest brother Sven, but he learned most of these things by himself. Mrs. Thatcher taught the first through the sixth grades in our one-room schoolhouse when Tom started school. Aidenville, Utah had a population of about 2,000 Mormons, 400 Protestants, and only about 100 of us Catholics, so a one-room schoolhouse was all we needed. Later, after Mrs. Thatcher retired, Mr. Standish became our teacher. He let Tom skip the fifth grade. I guess that proves how smart my brother was. Before 1898, any parents wanting their children to get more than a sixth grade education had to send them away from home to go to school. Papa sent Sven and Tom to the Jesuit Catholic Academy for Boys in Salt Lake City, where the seventh and eighth grades were taught. After Sven graduated from the eighth grade, Papa sent him to Boylestown, Pennsylvania, to live with relatives and go to high school. Tom didn't have to return to the academy for eighth grade. A non-denominational academy for seventh and eighth graders had been built in Aidenville that year. 33 students were enrolled. Tom was only 12 years old at the time. But the trouble with Tom's great brain was his money-loving heart. Everybody laughed when, at the age of eight, he started telling people he had a great brain. But after he began to use his great brain to swindle kids and make fools out of adults, nobody laughed at him anymore. Us kids put up with him until he was 12. Then he went too far. For 30 cents, he put the lives of my two best friends in danger. We put him on trial in our barn, and he was found guilty of being a confidence man, a crook, a swindler, and a blackmailer. The sentence handed down was that no kid in town would play with him or have anything to do with him for 1 year unless he gave up his crooked ways. The fellows let Tom off the hook when he promised to reform. But did he reform? Heck no. Oh, he had Papa and Mama and the kids fooled, but not me. It was just that the swindles he pulled off were so slick that nobody could prove they were swindles. The Aidenville Academy was two blocks from the common school where my adopted brother Frankie and I went to school. Frankie was in the first grade. I was in the fifth grade. Frankie's parents and brother had been killed in a rock slide when he was 4 years old. Papa and Mama had adopted him after my uncle, Mark Trainer, who was the town marshal and a deputy sheriff, couldn't locate any relatives. Frankie was now six. It was easy to see he wasn't my real brother, because he had the blackest and straightest hair of any kid in town. I took after Papa and had dark curly hair. Sven was a blonde, like our Danish mother. Tom was a sort of mixture of Papa and Mama, and the only one who had freckles. It was the first Friday in November when this buried treasure scheme of Tom's began. He met us on the corner after school. We stopped at the Aidenville Weekly Advocate office to find out if Papa wanted Tom to help him. Papa was editor and publisher of the town's only newspaper and did printing for everybody who needed it. He was setting type when we entered the office. "Want me to come back and help after I change clothes?" Tom asked. Papa looked at us from beneath his green eyeshade. "No thanks, D.D.," he said, "but I'll need your help next week on a big printing job." My brothers and I usually called each other by our first and middle initials because that's how Papa usually addressed us. We all had the same middle name of Dennis, just like Papa, because it was a family tradition. Mama and Aunt Bertha were in the kitchen making pies when we got home. Mama had her blonde hair piled high in braids on her head like she usually wore it. Aunt Bertha wasn't really our aunt. She came to live with us after her husband died because she didn't have any place to go and she wasn't a Mormon. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints took care of any Mormon in need, but Aunt Bertha was a Methodist. Why she picked our family, which was Catholic, I'll never know. She simply walked into Papa's newspaper office one day after burying her husband and said she had no place to go. She was a big woman in her 60s, with hands and feet as big as a man's. In a short time, she became like one of the family.